level of engagement. We'll meet our 2015 goals for energy, water, and carbon next year. We have some goals that are more challenging. We have a commitment to source 5% of total campus energy and 5% of electricity from renewables by 2015. The wind turbine that you will consider next time meets 20% of the renewable energy electricity goal, but only 6% of the total energy goal because of our use of steam and chilled water. We have a goal of halving our landfilled waste by 2020, despite the waste diversion rate showing little movement in the past two decades. We have over $150 million need for energy conservation at this campus, projects with high returns, but no mechanism to obtain funding at the required scale. As stated in the Climate Action Plan, as the flagship public university in the state of Illinois, this campus has a moral and ethical obligation to lead, to set aggressive goals, to work to meet them, and to serve as a model for the community, the state, and the nation. As our Board of Trustees, you have the same moral and ethical responsibility to lead our campus. As a campus, we have never aggressively pursued state and federal funding for sustainability infrastructure. A campus-funded revolving loan program for energy conservation has been a target for 3 to 4 years now, but still doesn't exist. Meanwhile, Harvard's Showcase program has earned them better returns than their famed endowment. Conversations on having the UIF loan the campus money for energy conservation projects have appeared to have stalled, as have conversations on a public-private partnership to build a renewable energy farm on the South Farms. The campus's utilities decentralized billing system is now a year and a half behind schedule, and the newest set of recommendations on it from the Stewarding Excellence Committee propose a fantasy rate structure that will not meet campus needs. And to this date, institutional structure prevents the foundation from making any substantive effort in raising money for campus sustainability. Last summer, I visited the Yale Office of Sustainability, which is based in their Office of the President. As a single campus institution, Yale has no chancellor. Placement for our campus would be equivalent to placement in the Office of the Chancellor. And ultimately, on all of the issues that I've brought up, we look to the Board of Trustees to provide leadership here. This isn't a matter of implementation, it's a matter of policy. And we ask for your leadership to help us make our plans and visions a reality. Our university deserves no less. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Next up is Tricia Tan.
Hi. I'm wondering if I might distribute a photocopy of a certain document to all of you. I apologize for...
Sure, someone will come up and distribute it for you.
Thank you. So I'm not sure how many I ought to have made. What will be distributed before you shortly is the document about which I'm wishing to speak today. This is dated September 18, 2000. This was an agreement between the then Program for the Study of Religion at the University of Illinois Urbana campus and the Newman Foundation, which has subsequently been renamed to the St. John's Catholic Newman Center. This, of course, this agreement, you may note, has been dissolved as of July 29th of 2010 in connection with the controversy that very few of you, well, perhaps some of you may be aware, erupted this summer over a certain adjunct professor by the name of Kenneth J. Howell. I am not here to talk about Dr. Howell, nor am I here actually to address the fact that this was in fact dissolved. The dissolution was agreed upon by all parties involved in the resolution of the Howell case, both the ADF attorneys, the University Council, and the Council of the Catholic Diocese of Peoria through the St. John's Catholic Newman Center. Rather, what I wish to address is the principle of what has caused this dissolution. It had very little thing to do, in fact, with Dr. Howell. The reasons for the dissolution are somewhat curious to me. I'm an alum of the University of Illinois, Urbana campus, 2006. I was not privileged to have experienced myself the courses that this particular agreement made possible. However, I have worked closely with Dr. Howell in the years since. Now, Associate Chancellor Robin Kaler was quoted as saying that this university is committed to teaching the theory of Catholicism at the Urbana campus. Within that case, however, it has been said that this particular arrangement, which was unique, it must be agreed, was unique, represented an external influence upon the university, thus causing problems with academic freedom, church-state relations, and such. I'd like to point out this is hardly a proper argument. If you will note on the sheet before you, paragraph 2, I've actually underlined the very final clause. This basically states that any courses that are to be proposed for this will be approved according to the standard procedures of the university. The university reserves the right not to approve any course that is proposed, any syllabus. It has always retained the veto right of such. The third paragraph states that individuals, although they will be proposed for adjunct faculty as by the Newman Foundation or St. John's at this point, that they will hold appropriate scholarly credentials and shall be reviewed and approved for adjunct status according to standard procedures for such positions. The university has the right to veto these suggestions as well, and has in fact exercised such right in 2001 in the case of a certain individual named David Delaney. Now, regardless of the external oversight, regardless of what we may think about the particulars of this instance, if we are to take the argument of against external influence to its ultimate conclusion, we would then be problematizing the very nature of a university as an institution of intellectual inquiry, whose scholars must necessarily be held accountable to the associations of which they themselves are a part. A sociology professor, for example, would be expected to adhere to teaching the principles of sociology as established by the field of sociology as a whole. It happens in this case that the Catholic Church provides a very easy way to guarantee this. Now, I would like to conclude that, in fact, I was quite touched by Chairman Kennedy's remarks earlier regarding Cardinal Newman. And his very, very timely remarks regarding the nature of the university. The problem with the university as a place of where such dialogue is restricted is it fosters intolerance, which is precisely the reason that ostensibly this agreement was dissolved. And in that case, the students are the real victims. Just 2 days ago, we had a situation where an English professor was spewing anti-Catholic hate speech for probably about 80 minutes. And a student sat there listening and could do nothing out of shock. If that's the case that we've come to on this university, then I am ashamed to call myself an alum. And I would hope that at the very least, you would consider the implications of what this has wrought. Thank you.
Next, I'd like to invite Carlos Daniel Ramirez Rosa.
He's in the overflow room, so if someone could get him, he wasn't allowed in here.
Hi, good afternoon. It's actually quite peculiar. I never got a confirmation email that I was going to be speaking today, but I was in the overflow room, which I also found quite peculiar because there's a lot of open seats here. So I just ran over here from the overflow room to address the Board of Trustees this morning. Good morning. My name is Carlos Daniel Ramirez Rosa. I'm a fourth year here at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign. Wow, a little bit out of breath. Okay. And I'm the co-chair and turner of Mecha de UAUC. Mecha de UAUC is a social and economic justice organization, civic participation organization, that understands that in order for the Latino-Latina community to advance, that we need more